Hi, everybody. This is Pat O'Brien. Either your grandfather, your father, or you grew up with me doing sports for the last 30 years, plus all the entertainment and pop culture things that I did, all those red carpets for you out there. Now, we're putting all that in a podcast, The Pat O'Brien Show. Go to iTunes and find it. Go to thepatobrienshow.com. We're here. We work for you on The Pat O'Brien Show. Thanks.
Hey, I'm Adam Carolla.
I'm Dr. Drew.
And we are here to ask you to do us a little favor. If you like what you hear, share it with a friend.
Nice. Keep the pirate ship afloat, right?
Yeah, well, that's the only advertising we got. Thank you in advance for telling a friend, and enjoy the show.
This is Carolla Digital. Recorded live at Carolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on mandate. Get it on. Thank you so much for joining the program. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Make a noise with the paper. Right on cue. Art Alexakis is here. You know him from Everclear and beyond. Good to see you, Art.
Thank you very much. You know, one of the best things about coming on your show, Adam, you say my name right.
I say it fast.
You're one of the few people. You're one of the few people.
Well, we go way, way back.
I thought you were going to say you enjoyed him just immediately giving me shit.
No.
Two words are out of his mouth.
Boy, you are salty today, man.
I'm salty.
You say my name perfectly, too.
Alex Hawkins, yeah.
Okay. When I said your show, I meant the two of you.
Thank you so much. Art, by the way, is starting the Summerland Tour. Tickets available very soon, featuring Everclear, obviously, Soul Asylum, Eve 6, Space Hog. What is their big hit? Is it In the Beginning?
In the Meantime.
Fucking just love that song because it's so long and it's so good.
And it's, you know, they haven't toured in 10 years.
Space Hog has.
Yeah.
Are they a British band?
Oh, yeah. They're British. And the singer was married to Liv Tyler.
Oh.
So, yeah. So they haven't toured since he got divorced.
It's weird because Liv knows firsthand, pardon the pun, what it's like to live with a rock and roller because her biological dad is a rock and roller.
And her guy
she thought was her dad was Todd Rundgren.
Right.
There's a guy with the last name. You have to speed through too, but you can't. There's a speed bump right in the middle of Todd Rundgren. But anyway, she was raised by both those dudes, or at least raised by Todd, but had the DNA of Steven in her. And
somehow that sounds weird.
Hooked up.
I'm just saying.
Hooked up with a rock and roller.
Depends on your perspective.
Now, did it not work out with her and with Liv and Hogg?
I don't think so. I don't know much about it, but I do believe they got divorced. And I remember reading something somewhere where Liv's pal, Gwyneth Paltrow, said to hang in there because she's married to a rock star too. So,
yeah, except for there's two types of rock stars. There's this sort of
guys that look like rock stars and guys that are rock stars.
Well, now there's four kinds. What I'm saying is, especially in the British arena, there's super wimpy. There's the other kind of rock star, which is super soft-spoken. There's a Keith Moon type of British rock star. And then there's, you know.
Donovan.
Donovan. Thank you.
Donovan or his dad? Which Donovan are you talking about?
What I'm saying is
take a swing.
I feel like American rock stars are just American rock stars, like kind of straight on through. They have a very soft, pliable, family-oriented rock star version. Gwyneth got that version. Maybe the Space Hog guy wasn't that version.
Well, but, you know, her husband is British. Chris Martin.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, but he's the soft, cuddly British rock star.
Well, they named their kid Apple.
That's what I'm saying.
Just needed to be said.
I said I have twins. I should have named them Pear. Good stuff, right, Drew?
I don't even want to go with the triplets. That scares me.
Triple sec.
But I got to say, the guys in Space Hog. Space Hog actually toured with Everclear back in 1996. And they're just wonderful guys. They're real musicians. They're the real thing.
So I'm
stoked to have them on. That's a great song. It's a great album, that album.
Yeah.
So it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's like I can almost hear it now.
It goes in and out. I just can't get it out of my head.
So, Art, all is good with you. Sober, married, happy time of life.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I got my left turns. But pretty much, yeah, I'm living the dream. I'm living in Pasadena.
Can you believe that?
Did you ever move to the neighborhood? You said you were going to
near the hood. Yeah,
I moved to La Cañada.
Nice.
Yeah, we're all neighbors. Now.
I almost got a house in La Cañada about a month ago.
It's
close to that.
It was good until I was. You know, I say we are exposed to technology that's not really ready to be exposed to.
You mean our brain's not ready yet?
No, not our brain. The brains of the guys who made it.
I see.
And so you can't, well, I've said all the time, it's like CGI. Back in the day, when you'd watch a movie, you'd see the movie Bullet. There was no CGI in the movie Bullet. There was just a crazy fucking car chase through the streets
awesome
of San Francisco.
Fucking awesome is what it was.
It was fucking awesome because they didn't have any rules.
Yeah, because Steve McQueen was fucking awesome.
And they're just driving through the streets of San Francisco back today. They'd say, you got to pull 5,000 permits and we got to close the city down. And back then, they probably just did some run and gun thing.
Dude,
right?
They just did it.
They just
did it. Right.
So then CGI came about. All right, easy, Drew. And when CGI came about, it looked like shit. And we had to sit there and wait until they got their shit together with CGI.
All right.
Now.
Could you hear that?
Yes, everyone can hear it. Thank you. He's a musician. He's
paid
to hear.
I'm deaf. Don't even go
there.
Oh,
and he can hear it.
I've got to say, if I can hear it, that's pretty bad.
Oh, thank you, Art. Now, what's going on with the technology that I've tried on a number of occasions is that voice recognition or the voice technology, speaking of La Cañada, Sunday, I'm driving around looking for a place to get my fucking haircut. And I do the thing where they go, city and state. And I'm like, fantastic, Sam's. The city, state, California. City, La Cañada. Fantastic, Sam's in La Quinta, California. That's in Palm Springs.
I know.
And I realized, first off, I didn't say La Quinta. I said La Cañada, but it's not going to work.
Surrey?
Yeah.
No, not Surrey.
She hates
just
me.
Just the 411. Oh. I need some directions.
Oh, my God.
I've tried this thing 10 different times. Wow. It never fucking hears a word I say.
Jesus.
And then I realize, but here's what I'm saying. 5 years from now, they'll have it figured out. Hmm. 5 years ago, you just dial 9411 and you'd get a person. And then it would work. We're in the in-between where it doesn't work.
Right. They shouldn't deploy it till it really works.
But I fucking tried it five times.
But then you don't
never
really know
what I'm talking
until
about.
Until you've done stuff, until it's actually applied, you don't really know the shortfalls.
Well, it's funny because
when a guy with your nasally drone comes through, they never anticipated that.
Oh, yeah. They can't understand
I didn't
a word
say
I'm
La
saying.
Quinta. I said La Cañada.
But see, that's the thing. We've become consumers / beta testers.
Right.
We're paying them to beta test their technology.
It's
been happening for a long time. We don't have any choice in it. You buy an iPhone, that's what you get. I thought Surrey was fun for about 10 minutes and I'm just like, fuck this woman. She hates me. I'm not going
to
be.
Never even spoke to the bitch.
I try to talk to her every now and then and she just hates me.
Hey, Dr. Drew. Mm. I feel like we should at least bring up Philip Seymour Hoffman since you're here.
Sure.
And
Art's here too.
I don't really know, as far as Art goes, who's put together a lot of sobriety.
Almost 25 years. Mm.
Does it freak you out when somebody put together a bunch of sobriety just kind of at an age?
I met him at a meeting about 3-4 years ago.
Really?
And, you know, we met and talked a little bit. And we had about the same amount of, about a year more. A year or two more, but I mean, we talked for like 4 or 5 minutes, if even that. But it was just like, I was a huge fan, and I'm a huge fan of anyone that does that. And I've got to say this, I know it sounds really selfish and horrible, but addicts can understand this. But when someone like that goes down, now, not that he died, that was just horrific. But I've seen other people who've been like 22 years sober think, man, I got this beat. I can have a drink of wine.
Yeah.
I can do that. 3 weeks later, they're heroin. Living with a stripper.
Yeah.
Their wife's kicked them out of their house. Yeah. Their family's frozen their accounts. I mean, this is real stuff.
First part sounded good.
Yeah, no, I know.
The wine, the stripper, and the out of the house part.
Oh, that no. But and throw heroin in there because that's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or whatever your drug or whatever. But my point is the fact that they go off the reservation makes it easier for me to be able to see that pothole and say, oh, I don't want to go.
And I'm telling you, the big pothole that every addict comes across on a regular basis is my peers, the medical system. It's going to give you pills and not teach you how to deal.
Was he given pills?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
That's how it got started.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I don't know that much about it. I saw the 60 Minutes interview that they run on him. They re-aired, from 06.
But he
got sober like 22, 23. So you guys have a lot in common that you got sober early. But he'd come back off the wagon a couple of times. But the pills part, that was never discussed.
That's what takes him out every time.
So
Yeah, but let's be
what
honest
pills
about it.
Too?
You don't have to put that pill in your mouth. That's your choice.
No, listen,
to do
you
that.
Went through it. We just discussed it in the waiting room here.
Right.
The doctor sit down and go, you need to take this. Now, if they hadn't put recovering guys in the room with you, and it was just a doctor, you got to do this. And when you go home, you got to take a week of this.
I would have told them to fuck off. I would have. I swear to God,
you eventually did it.
I did do it because I needed to do this to support my family.
I understand, but that's what somebody convinced him, but didn't prepare for the consequences.
That group
did the right thing. They brought covering guys in. They planned for it. They dealt with it. As opposed to somebody going, hey, man, you got to listen to me. And the guys know what he's talking about.
Because he's a doctor.
Because I'm a doctor, and you got to take these pills for a week.
No,
not accepting, not preparing. And it may have been true. I mean, you legitimately have to take it for a week.
They gave me OxyContin. I threw it away. My wife doesn't want it. I don't want it. I threw it away.
But just my case in point, they gave you OxyContin, for Christ's sake.
I know.
And they let you leave the hospital with a fucking prescription for OxyContin.
I know.
That's insane. That's insanity.
Like giving a baby a blowtorch.
A gun. A fucking pistol.
Are we talking about for your foot right now? Or are we talking about for something before?
No, I had sciatica.
And this is a guy saying, I don't want it. They made him take it.
Yeah.
I imagine if there's weakness in his sobriety, just a little weakness.
I hurt my back. It was miserable. I know it doesn't sound like that. But
no,
I had sciatica really bad. Hurt my back. Went to the hospital.
Do you know how fucking crazy that sounds to me?
I know.
They send you out with a fucking prescription for OxyContin.
That should be malpractice.
That's okay. Because that's a one-time thing. They prepare
for it. It was a one-time thing.
They deal with it. You're going to think strange. You're going to be strange.
But I did the right thing. Yeah. I was walking out. Yeah. And I wasn't going to go, hey, you want these? I'm not going to do that.
Maybe you had a surgery.
I threw them away.
But what if you had a surgery?
Hold on. I know you're getting your panties put in a Cuisinart here, which I like this version of you. But what I'm saying is if I go in and I do get some procedure and they give me a prescription for something, they don't ask me if I'm in the program.
No.
You're saying
that's insane.
That should just be protocol.
It should be. Do you have a history of addiction? Do you have a family history of addiction? Have you ever been addicted?
Is there someone in your house who's an addict?
Right. This household is an addict.
Just to be clear, what's insane is not that they're saying, here's a guy with 26 years of sobriety. What's insane is they're not asking.
Right. Not asking, I guarantee you. Listen, you knew he was a solid in the program, so you know what he did. He went, no, I'm in the program, I can't, I can't, and you know they had to actively push him to take. I'm sure of it.
I
see that all the time.
But isn't that a liability if you're actively pushing
somebody?
Happened to him.
Let me tell you the story real quick.
Tell the story.
Okay, so I went to the hospital, waited there all night. They put me in. They wanted to put me on a
morphine infusion.
No. Is that what it is?
Is this sciatica?
Okay.
Yeah.
For sciatica. Extremely painful. I've been stabbed. I've been shot. I got tattoos. Worst pain ever felt in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, okay. So they're like, we got to get you on what's the machine?
MRI.
MRI to do the MRI. And I couldn't lay down on my back because it was just too painful.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, you've got to do this.
This is how long ago?
We've got to give – 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to give you a shot. We've got to give you drugs.
Morphine.
And I'm like, they're like, we'll give you some or something Tortles to make you relax. Yeah. Or I'm like, no, I don't want it.
Right.
Well, lorazepam. Or, yeah. You know,
that will trigger you.
No, I don't want it. I'm sober.
No, I said, I'm clean and sober. I don't want it. It's a liability. I can't do it.
Right.
And they got me down with three doctors, two of them clean and sober, and said, we've got to
forcing
see
him to take
what's
the
going
chance.
On.
Two of the doctors were program guys.
Yeah.
And you don't know how solid their programs are. You know what I mean? They made. I'm assuming they're
right,
solid,
but true.
Come on, now, doctors. Isn't there a huge rate of like addiction among?
Yes, and they usually don't come back to work until they're really, really, really sober. So you can pretty much be assured. These
all right, but hold on. Let me play devil's advocate for a second. He's under exquisite pain.
Yep.
They don't know what's going on.
Right.
Could be a cancerous tumor.
Absolutely.
And they got to get him into the machine.
They did the right thing with the morphine.
Yes, I agree.
They did the right thing.
See, I agree. Okay. But you're seeing how the pressure gets applied.
I took the
morphine. Well, they want to get him into the box.
But they did the really cool thing was they brought two sober physicians in the room.
So that's the way
to
do it.
Because the one guy, I'm like, look, you don't understand what I'm going through. And like 15 minutes later, he comes in with two guys, one guy that had like 6 years, one guy that had 16 years, and this guy who doesn't have a problem, and they're talking to me, and they're all very wise and nice-looking older men, and I'm like, look, okay, I'm gonna do it. That's fine, but I you know.
But now
I got to see. Then my wife walks in after they put me on the drip, like a half an hour after they put me on the drip. She walks in after dropping the baby off at school, comes in and goes, what happened to you? And I go, what? She goes, you look happy. I've never seen you in the 8 years we've been together look happy. And I go, that's because I'm comfortable in my own skin. You will never see this again.
Yeah, enjoy it.
And the minute they gave me the Oxycontin, I'm like, I don't need these. Don't give them to me.
Right. Now, they gave you a prescription for that.
They gave me a bottle.
Oh, they
of Oxycontin.
30, right? 30 pills?
30 Oxycontin.
Fuck. It's fucking insane.
So,
if he had taken that, he'd be Philip Seymour Hoffman.
All right. Probably. A great act?
Yeah.
Oh, no, dead. Okay. Oh. Sorry. Because the first time, I thought, oh, Academy Award. That'd look good on the mantelpiece. So, now, the same guy, is it the same guy who knew that you had a situation?
No, the normie gave him the stuff. The other
no,
two guys
I know, but the normie guy was around with the other two guys. I'm
but
just
he
trying to figure
know.
Out.
He doesn't know addiction.
No, he called the other two guys into the room.
I understand.
Drew,
but
I'm just trying to figure out, is it that same guy who stood between the two sober guys who knew what to do, who then handed you the pills with the Oxycontin?
No, I think that he prescribed it and one of their minions came in. And,
right.
But the point is, the guy that prescribed it was the guy who didn't know
but they
addiction.
But they didn't just give me a prescription, which I assume they would, because I've gotten prescriptions before for it. And I just rip them up. Yeah. No problem. They handed me a bottle of pills.
It's insane.
That's weird.
I swear to God.
It's weird. Happens all the time.
I'm saying it's weird because I feel like almost every time I've done something, they went, go to the pharmacy on
you're
the way out.
You're just jealous. You're just jealous.
I am because I have to stop at the fucking pharmacy.
All right. Well, but here's the deal. What normally happens, and by normally I mean like 90% of the time, exact same story without the sober guys in there.
Right.
And no expectation, no planning, no here's how it's going to go. You're going to be triggered. You're going to think. Get your meetings up. You know, really supporting his recovery and how it's going to respond to this exposure to the opioids.
So now what happened with Philip Seymour Hoffman? Because,
I just keep hearing pills.
It's a story that's not being brought up or told.
Because the people that know the true story are not talking about it. Yeah.
So what happens—
And I agree with Drew, but I have to say— there is a certain amount of responsibility for every person to make that choice.
Yeah.
And to be sober, come on, be fair. To be sober for that long, you like your friend you were telling me the story of, you know when I know when I'm full of shit. I know when I'm talking to a girl and I shouldn't be talking to a girl like that. I don't do that, but I've done it. Making that transition from being a sex addict or being, you know, or acting like that, letting my addiction use sex like that, which is, I've been married 4 times. It's not a fucking accident, right?
Right.
Okay. But I'm not anymore. And I don't act like that anymore because I like where I am. But I'm present about it. And because I stay present and I look around, there's a sense of, there is a degree of responsibility every addict has.
Yeah, Alex, and I can't argue with that except to say I have had patients doing extremely well just taken out by my peers, just taken out in ways that just stun me.
What Drew's saying is this, and I believe, and I agree with you, Art,
And by the way, it might have been Adderall.
I agree
by the
with
way.
Everyone.
It might have been Adderall that started him going. He was on Adderall at the end.
Who? He was.
Philip?
Yes. And so it might have been somebody going, oh. Dude, you need to concentrate. Oh, I got the. You have adult ADD.
It's speed.
You know how many addicts get fucked up on Adderall and take and then end up on heroin a year later? All the fucking time. He's depressed. He can't concentrate. I can't remember my lines. You have adult ADD. Like every drug addict has adult ADD. And now we're going to fix that with this Adderall
stuff. But don't most people have ADD?
Every drug addict has it.
Yeah.
Every drug addict has it.
Well, first off, every guy has ADD. Every 13-year-old boy has ADD, and every 13-year-old girl will be raped in her lifetime. That's what I've learned from reading USA Today.
And half of them won't report it, except how do we know
that
they were raped?
Yeah, look, here's the fucking
deal. Wow, man, we took a left turn and that was
No, what I'm saying is Bugs Bunny popped up in Albuquerque. Or Kalamazoo on occasion. What I'm saying is, there is Cucamonga. Not, Cucamonga. I don't know an 11-year-old boy on the planet who, when the sun is shining and he's asked to write uppercase and lowercase vowels and consonants, isn't looking out the window wanting to fucking crawling out of his skin, wanting to hit that schoolyard and kick some ball or wrestle some guy to the ground.
And
if that's ADD, it's called being a dude.
And a year later, all
born.
He can think about is the girl sitting in front of him. The girl over there, that's...
Right. It's called being a male and puberty.
I totally get it. I have a 6-year-old right now. My 22-year-old is in college. She's just got accepted to law school.
Wow,
she's killing it. She's great. Not like me. The 6-year-old, just like me. Uh-huh. She came out of her mother. True story. You ever deliver a baby?
Many.
Okay. She came out. Supposedly, babies aren't supposed to be able to push themselves up. She came out. They put her on her mother. Still got the umbilical cord. Pushed herself up like a cobra in the cobra position.
Wow. Crazy.
And screamed, just went, ah! And the nurse just like freaked out, like, I've never seen anything like that. I go, that's my kid.
I got a daughter who does the scream, the crazy scream.
Banshee scream.
My
did
kids.
Did she do it in the delivery room? Do you remember?
I don't remember. I remember last night. We were in the living room and she was screaming, but she was standing on my shoulders. Like she got up.
Talking, Daddy.
She wanted to get up onto my shoulders, and then her deal was she wanted to stand on my shoulders and do a front flip onto the sofa.
How old?
She's 7, and she's nuts, and she screams and she punches, and she's not mean spirited.
Have doctors tried to put her on Adderall?
That'll come.
Because they tried to put me on it. And my mom, uneducated hillbilly that she was like, you're not putting my child on speed. I don't see a good idea putting an 8-year-old on speed. What they should have really done is put me in therapy because I just got raped like 3 months earlier.
Hello.
You know?
Yes. Well, all right. So let's back it up for a second here, which is...
But we're talking drugs and rape.
Nothing's better. I mean, as far as it sweeps week
over here.
We're not
going to stop.
We're not going to stop. But what I'm saying is this. Art is saying, take personal responsibility. Drew is saying, and now I'm going to say, when somebody is... I'll put it to you this way. You know what's weird thing? I'm not... addicted to drugs, but I do like a cheeseburger. And Dr. Drew once, many years ago, just in passing, just said, hey, hamburger's got all you need in it. You got the protein, you got the carbs, and the bun, you got the vegetables, lettuce, tomato, whatever you need, it's all there. And sometimes when I'm working on my diet, I'm trying to get in shape, I'll pass by that In-N-Out burger and I'll hear Dr. Drew going, hey, everything you need, it's right there.
And it's because there's the doctor before his name?
Nah, he didn't say anything about a malt.
And I didn't say anything about during a diet.
But he basically said,
if you're starving, you can get by with this.
In a third world situation, right. This is a pretty good thing to hand out to the villagers. Right. And I know it. And I know when you're trying to lose a few and you're getting in shape for a film or something you're going to do, It should be a handful of raw cashews and some carrot sticks, but I hear Dr. Drew's voice going, everything you want, right, in that cheeseburger.
Okay.
I convert it to a double-double, and then I swing in because Dr. Drew said it was cool.
But you don't do it every day, do you?
1997. No, I don't, but I know the kind of power of wanting to do something.
You're talking about the validation aspect.
Yeah, I want to do this.
Throwing open the door.
I want to get altered. I can't be altered because I know I can't go down to the pub. But this doctor, this guy with all this training said, take these. It's okay.
So you have to do this.
And now I'm going, well, I wanted to. And now he's telling me I have to.
I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying I'm not disagreeing with you. There is responsibility.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But I'm just saying that every person has a responsibility to take care of themselves.
For their recovery.
For their recovery, everything.
And this is one of those.
I'm sorry. That girl's mouth just showed up on my penis. I'm sorry, baby. I didn't have anything to do with
that. It's crazy how often that happens.
Are you serious? Even me being 51 and being in a rock band, I could still get laid all the time. I choose not to. I mean, I see a pretty girl, I go the other
way. Thank God he has no testosterone left.
Oh, is that what it is?
No.
Really? You want to have a sword fight, motherfucker? Really?
But listen, one of the layers, last layer. And I told Art the story. I told Art the story outside, which is, you know, Shelly, my Vortec with the glasses from Celebrity Rehab.
Mm-hmm.
She's, you know, sober many, many years. And she had an emergency abdominal surgery for obstruction and whatnot. She wakes up on a morphine infusion. And is aware that she is bullshitting, lying, manipulating the nurses, watching the clock for her next dose, demanding, isolating, withdrawing.
She goes right back
into it. Rejecting her peers and her family. Knows she's in it and can't do a goddamn thing about it.
Right.
And not until somebody in the program walked in and went, what the fuck is going on here? Get off this shit. You're back in it. Because when you're in it, you can't get out.
So
it's hard to get out.
The answer,
I understand that. And my answer to that real quick. Answer to that. Don't get in it.
Yes.
Okay.
But my peers are duplicitous.
I had 3 grains of morphine. That wasn't enough.
Yeah.
They wanted to give me 3 times that.
I'm sure.
Okay. They wanted to give me a lot of drugs.
That's insane.
Well, Drew,
that's insane.
Why?
I'm like,
give me the smallest amount that I can lay down on this thing, still be in pain.
And imagine somebody's not been sober 20 years. They've been sober 6 months.
All right.
Yeah,
well, look.
I think it has a lot to do with personality.
So, look, here's the answer. The answer is.
Got the answers.
On the program side, this needs to be addressed, which is in terms of sponsors and your support network. Anybody who's going in for a wisdom tooth extraction or anybody, anything at any time needs to, before they make their appointment, contact their sponsor, and they need to stand there.
And make no assumptions that the healthcare provider understand your disease at all.
Right. That's on that side.
Yeah.
That's the art side.
Yeah.
And then your side is this needs to be part of the curriculum and the new training for physicians and beyond.
Yeah. I agree with it.
Why wouldn't that
both.
Be a very – by the way, it's not like it costs hundreds of millions of dollars we need to build a new facility. It's just a simple coaching up. Ask the person if this is a history, if they have this. If they do, here's a protocol.
They can't even fucking decide what addiction is in my profession.
But
they literally will fight – that who are you to say that this person's not in pain? You're going to let this person suffer? What's the matter with
that's,
you?
You think it's just laziness?
No, there's some. When you argue with them, it's bizarre. It feels religious. It's like we're arguing about religions. It's weird. It's weird.
Well,
I tell
you. Drew, can I say this phenomenon? Yeah. I know you hate lawyers. But
everybody loves lawyers.
But
here's
what lawyers do. Lawyers are trained like labs with chew toys, rope toy. They're pull. They pull, you pull, you pull. You turn around, they pull that direction. You turn any direction in the compass, all they do is pull.
Yep.
So you bring up one thing, they pull, they bring up another thing. If you ever hang around with lawyer guys, they will explain to you, like, you know, if you go John Elway, or if you say Peyton Manning, best quarterback, they'll go Tom Brady.
Right.
But if you brought up Tom Brady, they'd bring up Peyton Manning.
Yes.
Doctors and most people that are highly educated don't have a modality, a switch where they go, I guess you're right. Let's move on. They go, wait, slow, whoa, cool your jets.
Yeah.
Everybody with a higher education does not let people come in and go, here's what we should be doing. They go, whoa, 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 whoa. Slow down, hotshot. A lot of other people in this room went to a lot of nice colleges.
That's right.
And they got a lot of opinions.
That's right.
So slow it down.
That's right.
Yeah.
And in the blue-collar world, when the guy comes in and he goes, look, there's a new roofing system and this is what we're going to do, everyone goes, all right, let's get on the roof. There, in the white-collar world, it's slow down, hotshot. I went to Yale.
Yeah.
And I disagree.
Yeah.
Oh, the Trump card?
I disagree just to disagree.
Because everyone's an expert.
Because I'm an expert,
yeah,
and I'm highly educated.
Right? Yeah, but
you come here and tell
saying,
me my
are you saying the better degree trumps?
No, or, I'm saying they, it's a whole
it's
group of people. It's a group of eight people with
attitude.
200 years of education underneath their collective belts. Yeah. And one guy isn't going to go, I know the terrain. I'm the scout leader. Follow me. We're going up this trail on the north side. And it's going to be a lot of whoa. I train in this country. I work these trails. You don't tell me. You don't know. The more educated you get, the more argument you get. And now you have a bunch of people who are very highly educated arguing.
Let's add another layer to this. I hope you don't mind this conversation. This is the fullest exploration of this I've been able to have on a podcast. Now the people are going, whoa, are saying, well, wait a minute now. My patients love me. They're the greatest patients on earth. They show up on time, drug addict getting opiates. They show up on time. They pay their bills. They're functioning. They're happier. They've never been better. And the doctor's making tons of dough now doing this. And at the core of that, the biggest mistake they're making, what's the biggest mistake at the core of that situation? Forget the money.
What the doctors are making or the patients?
The doctor
don't feel bad if you don't know because Drew and I have done this
a million times. That's right. But I'm just curious
what the fuck he's talking about.
But the doctor comes in. The patient goes, you're the best doctor I've ever had. I feel glorious. This is fantastic. I'm back at work. This is fabulous. Here's, do you want more money? You want more? Here, can I get – and how about my fentanyl? I need my fentanyl patches. Okay. And yes, doctor. You're wonderful. What's at the core of the problem with the doctor's relationship with that patient?
He's not getting laid.
Well, no. He's believing the patient.
Oh, they believe. But do you really?
He believes.
Really?
Because
okay,
they believe them. They believe them, and they get angry when you suggest that their patients are not.
I'm such a fucking cynic. I don't buy it. I don't believe it. I don't believe that they're educated. They know better. That's my blue collar. Okay.
They believe you when you're saying it. They're trained to – they're like, my patients – have a very close, trusting – it's the foundation of our relationship. We trust each other. We're honest and open.
They really buy into that shit.
1,000%. And then they're pissed. And if they find out the patients are lying, they reject them as bad patients. And if somebody like me comes along and goes, dude, do not believe your patients, they're furious with me. Yeah, I swear to God, that's one of the core problems. You could see it as a core problem. You can't even believe it exists. Okay.
See, that's a view behind, you know, the curtain that I just have never seen before.
Well, it's nice to get a little peek behind the gown, hospital gown. By the way, can Adam fucking improve those?
When he wears those gowns, his ass is hanging out all over the place, and it sort of blows in the breeze because all that hair and stuff.
Really?
Sort of like wheat. Blowing around.
Kind of hairy guy, huh?
Well, below the waist.
I'm not a hairy guy, but I have a hairy ass, which I feel like
looks like that windsurfing commercial for Allegro or whatever.
Wow.
They're windsurfing over wheat and stuff. Yeah,
nice.
We have a society that punishes people if their body hair's in the wrong place. If it's under your if it's in your armpits, no problem. But if it's on your back, we got an issue.
Strangely,
it's a weird thing.
It has a parallel in sweating. If you sweat in the wrong places, that's bad too.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Is there
right.
a wrong place to sweat?
Yeah.
I asked Richard Nixon about that. I mean, if you're an upper lip sweater, you're a shifty, dicey, nervous junkie.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
Essentially. If you're an armpit sweater, you're just like everyone else. You know, everyone who's working. So if you get the upper lip sweat or the forehead sweat, it's like, uh-oh, this guy's lying. He did something wrong. I mean, basically, if you took I know it's a long story, but if you take a guy and you put him on the stand in a court of law, everyone's going to be on edge,
yeah.
And most people will have armpit sweat, but that'll be fine.
If
you have lip sweat, now you're criminal or you're lying.
You're talking about perspective.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. All right.
But he was a criminal.
Who are we talking
ultimately.
About? Oh, ultimately.
Nixon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ultimately.
But I'm saying the upper sweaty lip, the sweaty upper lip did not help him in his Kennedy debate because people thought what he was saying was not true. All right. We got calls. We got me doing the show in Irvine tonight with Fitzdog, Greg Fitzsimmons. We have us Treasure Island in Vegas, meaning doing the live podcast with Joe Coy. That's on the 21st of February. And we got my book, President Me, which you can grab on pre-order if you like on Amazon. You click through. Hold on, Drew. Subscribe via the PayPal button. Be very nice. Adam and DrDrewShow.com. Click through the Amazon link. That's
and
all good.
Yeah, the Amazon and the PayPal at the website is AdamDrDrewShow.com. And because we have all these fancy electronic services, Monsieur, we need, Mr. Crolla, we need extra protection.
Ah, that's right. LifeLock, baby. Identity thieves. They're all around.
Well, especially we're all
using.
Did
you guys just segue into a commercial?
How dare you?
Commercial?
These are friends.
These are friends who give
these
us
are
money.
Friends. That's right.
Support the pirate ship.
Nice. I know. Hey, flies man. Hey, do you get paid when you go out on tour, Mr. Highfalutin?
Yeah, because I do something.
That's right. What about these lights? What about those guys whose name I don't know on the other side of that glass? They got to get paid. Who built this place? That's right. LifeLock built it. That's right. That's right. We're built on a foundation of LifeLock. Drew?
Yes.
Stories?
Well, I'm just saying that we use lots of electronic services all the time, right?
I do.
And it's easy to be hacked.
My cards get hacked.
Now
they
just walk past your wallet now. They can
do
access
that,
to your stuff. Yeah.
That's the point.
Because we live in a time it's just like car insurance or having to get new tires. We have new technologies. If the car came along, all of a sudden there's some new expenses we have to add in there to protect ourselves.
LifeLock guards your identity and credit, even monitors your bank accounts for takeover fraud. Drew!
LifeLock services can't protect you or your bank accounts. If you're not a member, visit LifeLock.com, enter promo code Drew, D-R-E-W, or call and use the promo code Drew for a special 10% discount. That is promo code Drew to get a special 10% discount. Call or go to LifeLock.com. Call is 800-496-5030, 800-496-5030, promo code Drew, 800-496-5030.
All right, we got a couple of calls up here.
Cool, because I feel better now.
One is about art and touring and all that kind of stuff, line five, that is. But he is going on tour, and it's the Summerland tour, and tickets are available soon. But when does the tour begin?
Well, the tour begins in June. And this is going to be the fourth year I've done it, and it's really exciting. And I'm actually making a new record a single will be out before the tour starts, and the album should come out in September. And it's the first record I've made as a three-piece in probably about 15 years.
We will take a very quick break. We'll come right back. We have a call. One, Drew, don't answer, but some that came and went, but I'm curious if they've ever been definitive about it, which is line one, wanting to know about cell phones and radiation and cancer. It was kind of all in the news 5-6 years ago.
Like everything.
Gone now, but this guy wants to know if there's ever been a definitive study. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Larry Miller, but in a way aren't we all? And this week, on This Week with Larry Miller, I'm going to tell you who's on the mountain. It might be Tom Mix, but there's something very meaningful you want to hear, and it is not about who's skiing down a mountain. Listen for free through iTunes or visit LarryMillerPodcast.com. We'll see you here.
Thanks for hanging out.
Wow.
Art Alexakis here. Love this. I love classical music. It's the opposite of everything that distracts me and makes it. I drive with classical music on all the time. It helps you think.
Yeah,
it helps you get shit done.
I got a question for you. You have a 7-year-old daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Is she a fan of the movie Frozen?
Oh, of course.
Yes, she saw Frozen.
How many times?
Oh God,
my daughter's up to 10.
Wow. I went with her.
It's a great movie.
The first time, and then she went with other friends and nannies and who God knows whatever. Yeah. I would say I'm at least $350 into the Frozen hole.
I got you beat.
That's just for tickets.
What is it?
I
so
mean,
compelling
soundtracks and everything else.
It's girl power.
Yeah.
It's because you think it's going to be. Have you seen the movie?
No.
So I'm going to actually
spoiler alert.
Be a spoiler.
Yeah.
Okay, you think it's going to be a typical movie where true love's kiss is But it, there needs to be an act of true love to save this girl.
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen with the handsome prince. He's a bad guy.
Ooh. Uh-huh.
He wants to marry into the throne because he's 12th in line. Uh-huh. No. It's between an act between sisters. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's just huge. What I don't understand and what a lot of people I've talked to don't understand is that there's two girls in it, two sisters. There's the blonde.
Ooh.
Hot blonde, her eyes are about this big.
Of course.
She's a real person, right?
Yeah.
She's got a mullet. Yeah. She's got a mullet. My daughter wants a mullet.
Uh-huh.
She doesn't understand. I'm like, you're not getting a mullet.
Right.
All right? They will take you away from me if I give you a mullet.
Right.
They should take you away from me if I give you a mullet.
Right.
She wants a blonde mullet. Hmm. Not going to happen. And the other sister, who's the plain looking one, blah, 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 blah. So you go out to buy toys of these two girls, and the plain sister find stuff any day. Find it on a dress, on a dolls, anything.
Honest Elsa, her name, by the way. Elsa.
Yeah. Elsa, on it. Elsa is out of sale. It's out of stock.
The blonde. It's gonna,
the blonde.
The punk one.
And she's not a nice person.
Right. But she's prettier, right?
Well,
well we'd
it
have
depends
to
on who you're talking to.
Does she win in some way? Does she take the day? Carry the day?
She shows some redemption.
Hmm.
She freezes the world, then thaws it out with love. Love.
When I see it for the 26th time, you've now ruined it for me.
Well, you know what? I've seen the movie, and I love the movie. My whole point was
great music, too.
I listened to the soundtrack in my car, and not just the songs. I listened to the classical score. So
yeah,
I was commiserating with
that. Now, the blonde, though, doesn't look...
Come on, you do
punk.
Either of them. Come
I know,
on, don't
look
lie.
Punk.
Here's me.
She doesn't look punk. She's not punk.
Here's a story to bring up, or here's a topic to bring up, and you guys tell me where you stand on this one. Art, we both have daughters the same age. You're both insane, and my daughter the other night. You can take these pictures down. By the way, my daughter the other night when we were getting ready to go out and have a nice meal. She was getting herself put together. Like mama was putting herself together.
Right.
Daughter was putting herself together. And she was, you know, putting her eye shade on and stuff like that.
Your
and,
daughter?
Yeah, my daughter.
You let her put on makeup?
Listen. Here's the deal. Drew, please help. Stop reading your text and answer me for a second. I'm gone. I'm fucking on the road a lot. I'm flat out of the house. I'm just gone. I left, you know, yesterday morning at 7 a.m. driving for fucking Whittier to shoot some show for Spike. And when I was done, I came straight here and did a podcast and I rolled in the door at 9 p.m. You know, like I'm gone. And the weekend before I was in Detroit, Chicago, and Buffalo. I can't stand next to her and go, don't put your eye shadow on.
Right, right.
It's physically impossible.
But your wife is letting her?
She is.
Have you guys had that conversation?
I have not because
I don't have a strong feeling about that.
I don't have it because a lot of parents are like, whoa. And then it's a kind of a thing where it's like, look, every fucking doll she sees, the things we just saw, what she sees mama doing before she heads out. I agree. I don't want her doing it. She is going to do it at some point. I don't like it. I don't want to get. I don't want to break it down and have a big fucking blowout over it.
Pick your fights for sure.
I'm picking my battles.
My whole thing is
if mama, that's mama territory.
But wait, listen
for me.
Let's put it this way: you and I look at patterns. Our polar bear theory, right? Have we ever, of the tens of thousands of people we have talked to, dealt with somebody who's gotten in trouble because they started wearing makeup at too young an age? Ever?
Do you think they'd be aware of it?
It's not an issue.
I'm not in. Look, put it.
I don't think it's great.
I will say it this way. I wish she didn't do it.
Yeah, of course.
On the other hand, she's surrounded by society. She's watching figure skating. There's 14, 15 year old girls whose faces are painted up like Japanese kabuki.
For an event, I agree 100%. Look. We're going to do something really special. Yes, you can put on a little eyeshadow tonight.
Well, that's what we're doing. We're going out for a night out.
Okay,
that's...
but there's little girls at my daughter's. I don't want to throw people under the bus. There's little girls at the age of our daughters whose parents let them dress inappropriately. Well,
that's
older.
Different. That's different.
I agree.
Let them dress. And it looks cute to see your little six-year-old look slutty.
No,
well, it's not going to be cute in three or 4 years.
No.
Okay?
No, it's just going to be hot.
And it's not cute now.
I mean, no. It's inappropriate. I mean, not your daughter, but someone else's.
Because you're a wolf. I'm a wolf.
Right.
I get it.
But here's what I'm saying. Here's the conversation that this sparked.
Yeah.
So Natalia's putting her eyeliner on, and she's trying to futz it, and she's getting it all over her face. She's seven. Yeah, she looks like Mel Gibson in Braveheart at this point, spread all over her fucking face.
She got a mullet too.
Right. And I'm just like, you know, for me, first off, I have a couple of thoughts. One is the amount of time women spend on their hair and what they could be doing if they weren't spending that kind of time blowing hot air into their head and putting on all the spray and straightening everything. Just the poor women, black women, white women, who like have to straighten their hair, the hours. You know those things where they go, at the end of your lifetime, you'll spend 7 years in traffic. Women with kinky hair will have spent 14 years straightening it at the end of their lifetime. And what they could, the bridges and the skyscrapers they could be building if we fucking backed off on this a little bit. But anyway. She's putting the eyeliner on. My wife is doing the thing that society has taught her to do that I never buy into, which is, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. And I just stopped her and I said, wrong message. Let's stop telling all young women you're beautiful, because first off, if you're all beautiful, none of you are beautiful. Secondly, that shouldn't be the message. The message should be, you're compelling, you're smart, you're interesting, you're funny. Don't worry. There's plenty of women out there that are fours and fives. They get married. They have careers. They have families. Arguably, in a weird way, being exceptionally beautiful could be a curse to a young woman starting at age 9 or 10 and moving all the way through high school. That woman, her job is going to be being hot. She's never going to know her full potential. She's never, it's like, you sit around, you turn on the Olympics, you see, I'm watching the speed skating, and I'm watching like the 7,000 meter speed skating. None of those women are beautiful, because when you're beautiful, getting dropped off at the rink at 4 a.m. and spending 11 hours going in a circle, it's not something you do. The phone is ringing, you got a date. Young Art wants to take you out for the weekend. That's how it works when you're beautiful. So the message of saying to everyone you're beautiful, especially when you're not, or the percentages statistically you're not going to be, fine. Let's stop saying everyone's beautiful. Let's stop making everyone heroes who sends this message across. Everyone is beautiful. Yeah, everyone is beautiful. Meanwhile, ask any guy what they want. We'll fucking decide what's beautiful. You'll never convince us when they do these bullshit things where it's like, Lena Dunham is changing the way people look at women. No, she's not. She's changing the way she looks at women. And one lesbian reporter writes about women. Not dudes. Not dudes. We know what we want. We're wired for what we want. That will not be changed by 23-year-old comedians who are a little bit haunchy. That does not work. Stop yelling everyone is beautiful and start focusing on other things.
Okay, you don't think, I understand what you're saying.
My son, I'm sorry for cutting me off and you off, but my son, all we do with my son is, oh, you're great at math, Sonny, that's great. Maybe one day you'll be an engineer and you're great at this and that and school and blah, 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 blah. We never talk about his physicality. We never talk about what he looks like. He's a sweet boy. He's a nice boy. He's a smart boy. He knows math. Or he needs to work in this department. But it's never like, oh, you're good looking. You're so pretty.
You're beautiful. Yeah.
You're beautiful. You're beautiful. Everything's beautiful. He doesn't have it in his head that his looks are. He's talking about being a fucking astronaut, and he's talking about starting his own podcast. But he's, nothing has to do with his looks. Say, fucking good luck with the podcast. The point is this. The first podcast from outer space, son Santino Carolla. I'm saying, he doesn't hear anything about what he looks like, and he already knows it's not going to factor in. It'll be neither here nor there whether he gets his degree in chemical engineering or he goes out for the Olympics as a sprinter. It's not. My daughter, is already getting sucked into this world. If you're beautiful, everyone's beautiful. Yeah. Everything's beautiful. Yeah. Okay. I suggest we stop saying everyone's beautiful.
Okay. Well, you know that the thing of everyone's beautiful and that whole aspect, and I'm not bringing in Lena Dunham. I don't even get that. Whatever.
She's a hero.
Okay.
I like
fine.
Lena Dunham.
No, I am too.
I like her too.
It's the people
I like her
that
too,
build a system around her where she gets on the cover of Vogue and looks as skinny as human, looks 20 pounds skinnier than she actually is, who talk about the new face of beauty. No guy signed off on this.
Well, I also think that what this is, and I've got a daughter who's 15 years older than my six-year-old, so things have changed. Perceptions have changed. The way you talk to kids has changed since your kids were younger. It's different now.
Why?
What's
different?
Well, it's a lot more politically correct. This whole thing of like everybody's beautiful. It's okay.
Oh, it's gotten
worse. They don't use the word fat. My wife won't use the word fat.
Right.
About people, or even heavy. We won't bring up that to say
sure.
that. She can't use that as a description. Whereas my daughter is like, well, that girl's got dark skin and that girl's bigger than me. And she's just using it as descriptive, not as a
pejorative,
label. As a label,
yeah.
Which our society. So all I'm saying, and I'm not doing this very well, please give me a second here, is that this whole politically correct thing has arisen to battle the old school perceptions of what beauty is.
So, right, but so we're not going to cure it by saying everyone's beautiful.
It's not a cure. It's a step in the right direction.
I don't think it's a step in the right direction.
You don't think accepting someone's looks the way they are?
That's a totally different thing than announcing they're beautiful.
It's accepting what beauty is. It's redefining what beauty is.
We're never going to redefine what beauty is. We've locked it off.
Dude, I totally agree with you. I totally agree. You put Lena Dunham in a room and Angelina Jolie in a room.
The reason Lena Dunham is Lena Dunham is if she was a hot, tall blonde, she wouldn't be Lena Dunham.
She wouldn't be funny.
She didn't get asked out on a Saturday night. She said, fuck it, I'm going to start writing.
And she developed a personality.
That's right.
I get it.
And what I want to say is I don't want to get hold of a 9-year-old Lena Dunham and try to explain to her and convince her that she's beautiful. I want to say to her,
you're smart.
You're smart. You have other gifts. And by the way, gifts that are going to keep going into your 70s, whereas the beauty, some point that's going to fall off a cliff. So you're lucky. And the good news is, there's plenty of dudes out there that'll be interested in a smart, funny, successful person with your personality
and
your
way,
gifts.
We confuse being attractive with beauty, too. She's attractive.
Yeah. I'm sure she has no trouble finding a man. Yeah. And you walk around all the time and you see your family members and your family members. And no one's a supermodel.
Okay.
Yet everyone found somebody, got married, started a family. It doesn't – the batting average isn't any higher when the two beautiful people get together versus the two five.
In terms of survival of
the I think
marriage.
It's a little higher when the ugly people get together. So what I want to say is instead of you're beautiful, you're beautiful, you're beautiful, you have many other things. Stop focusing on this and there's plenty of people that will be interested in this side of you.
Okay, but you do understand that those little girls, from the time that they're born – and the time that they can understand what words mean, oh, you're so beautiful.
They get hit over the head.
You're so this. And everything they see. You really want to do this? Let's get rid of Barbie. Put those pictures back up on the screen. You think that's realistic?
No, it's not.
Look at the way those girls look.
But that's what my daughter's shooting for.
I know. Every girl is shooting for that.
Right.
I understand that.
There's another layer to it, too, which is she starts hanging out with friends that look like that.
Yeah.
She likes the girls that are like that, right?
Yeah, bring them over swimming. Not now. Give them a few years. Let me rig up the pool house.
Oh, that's
come
why,
on.
That's
let's
why
go
you have
over
those portals
to Mr.
In your
Carolla's
pool.
House. Yeah. The one that says Uncle Creepy on top of it. Yeah, that one.
With a name like Uncle Creepy, you got to be good. All right. We promised we'd sneak in at least this phone call. Sam?
Yeah.
26 Ohio. So you had the question about the cell phones.
I was at work and like they had this little informational page that you read when you're pissing. And it's like, oh, watch out for cell phone radiation. The World Health Organization said, you know, they cause cancer or something like that, but there haven't been studies in America that are definitive. And I was wondering what Dr. Drew was thinking.
When was that posted, like 10 years ago?
No, it was like 2 weeks ago.
Well, I if there were, think about it, if there was cancer from cell phones, first of all, the attorneys would be all over it.
Oh, my God. I mean, ridiculous. Oh, my God.
Secondly, there's just no evidence, no good evidence.
Apple
people
be
are
out
worrying
of business.
About it like crazy.
And
by the way, we don't even bring our phones near our ear anymore.
But we're living in a world where they're just coming out with stories about third-hand smoke.
Third-hand smoke.
All right. We need to wrap this thing up. Art. Always love it when you come in. Always compelling. Always a great guest. Art, by the way, is going to be working on a program, chair of the songwriting program.
Awesome. Actually,
Los Angeles College of Music.
I'm a teacher.
That's fantastic.
I love that.
I teach songwriting.
That's really cool. That must be really gratifying.
Well, you know, it's something that as you get older and you start doing other things and want to do other things, you start looking at what your skill set is. And you know, I'm not that great of a singer. I'm not that pretty, as you've told me over and over, Adam.
I think you're beautiful.
Well, yeah.
We're all beautiful.
Everybody's beautiful.
Everyone's beautiful. But no, more eyeliner, right, and you'd be a 10.
Dude, I used to wear eyeliner. Come on.
Listen.
I was punk rock. Mm-hmm. Anyways, the Los Angeles College of Music is where I am the chairperson of the songwriting department. We start classes next fall. We just got accredited. It changed its name from being the LAMA, which was LAMA, which is kind of catchy, but now it's LACM, which is not catchy.
College of Music.
At all.
It says there's a 1 week summer course.
There'll be a 1 week summer course that hopefully I'll be involved with.
LACM.edu is where you go for all the information. But again, the Summerland Tour tickets are going to be available soon with Art, Everclear, and Soul Asylum, and Space Hog, and E6, and all that kind of stuff. And
awesome.
Art Alexakis is where you go if you want to Twitter the man. Art, always a delight. Come back anytime. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Art and Drew and me and you and Chris Maxipata and Gary Haftard saying mahalo.
This is Carolla Digital.